Well, when too much sport is never enough, it was always going to be a great contest, but few, I think, would have predicted the titanic struggle that played out between Novak Djokovic and Roger Federer at Wimbledon overnight. It took Djokovic 4 hours and 57 minutes to triumph over his longtime rival, capturing his fifth Wimbledon crown after the longest final in the tournament's history.
It was long, it had everything. Novak, it's great. Congratulations, man. That was crazy. Well done.
Roger said that he hopes that he gives some other people a chance to believe that they can do it at 37. I'm one of them. He inspires me, for sure.
Novak Djokovic and Roger Federer speaking at their post-match press conference. Their enormous admiration for each other on show. Christopher Clary is the tennis correspondent for the New York Times, who joins us from London, fresh from Wimbledon. Christopher, hello there.
Still at Wimbledon, actually.
Still at Wimbledon. Well, that's right. The game, the match went almost all night. An extraordinary contest. So many highs and lows. And the result could easily have been different. There were turning points where it could have been Federer's match. What was it like watching this?
You know, this era of tennis, as the Australians know too well from all the great Australian Open finals, has just been one epic after another. But this one was right at the top of the list in terms of the suspense and the opportunities that both men had to finish it. And Federer, you know, at 37 years old, was within 1 point of becoming the oldest Grand Slam champion in singles for the men in the Open era, older than Ken Rosewall. And it just didn't happen. He was 40-15, 8-7 in the fifth set on his serve. He couldn't close it out. The best shot Novak hit was a forehand passing shot cross court on the second match point. And then it just seed and sawed from there. But Novak is so tough.
Well, Federer's been here before. This is the longest final in Wimbledon history, but not by much. The previous record was 2008 when Rafael Nadal beat Federer in 4 hours and 48 minutes. And when Federer was asked how this match compared to the 2008 final, he said he's been the loser both times. That's the only similarity he can see. These elite players, how prepared are they for the mental and the physical demands of matches that go so long?
Well, no, it's interesting to listen to Novak after the victory, which is obviously very emotional for him. But he said that he's found a lot of, a lot of help from being a visualizer and visualizing scenarios before they happen in these matches. He spends a lot of time doing that now before big matches. But even he didn't imagine this. I don't think this kind of a finish. And the funny thing was, you know, this is a new rule this year in place at Wimbledon with a fifth set tiebreak at 12-all in the fifth set. And it's a new rule. Hasn't been used in singles at all this year, and Novak wasn't even aware of when it happened or when it started. He had to ask the chair umpire in the fifth set, you know, when it was going to happen if it did. So the whole thing was a bit of an adventure, but he was so mentally tough, and the crowd was against him, strongly against him, and yet he prevailed.
It was an extraordinary Wimbledon. I mean, it was fantastic for Australia because our quad wheelchair champion Dylan Alcott triumphed in the inaugural quad championship in a grand final in Wimbledon. So that was a fantastic result for Australians. But in the women's final too, Simona Halep beating Serena Williams. Serena Williams too, like Federer, is getting on in years, I suppose. How much longer? I think Federer's they're both trying to get a certain number, aren't they? They've both got a certain number in reach of finals.
Serena certainly does. I mean, she has Margaret Court's record, all-time record for Grand Slam singles titles in her sights, and she's got 23, and Margaret Court has 24, of course. I know she wants to play and beat that record. It's one of the main reasons she came back after pregnancy to play again. Federer, I'm not so sure. I think Federer is playing more for the sensations of these big finals and these communions with the crowds and just sort of seeing how far he can go. He's obviously still a huge contender, but this will be a very tough blow to bounce back from, I think, mentally, at least in the short term. It was a big, big loss for him. It could have been the greatest moment of his career, which is quite a statement, and it turned out to be, you know, very deflating.
He's chasing a record-equaling ninth Wimbledon singles title. Who holds that title?
Well, Martina Navratilova has the most, and that would be on the women's side. So right. I'm not sure Roger really has that much so much in his sights as he would have maybe had Pete Sampras's record back in the day. But one thing he is concerned about, I think, and it's inevitable, is his legacy. And right now he has 20 majors, and today's victory puts Novak Djokovic at 16 and Nadal has 18. So his two biggest rivals are also chasing him in the all-time stakes. And so I think that's something he's also thinking about and playing for. And they're really in a unprecedented way, they're all pushing each other, the three of them, as we've seen in Australia as well. And Novak talked about that after the final today, saying if it weren't for those two guys, he probably still wouldn't be playing, and certainly not at this level.
Yeah, that's so interesting, isn't it? So there's Nadal and Federer and Djokovic in the men's tennis that are really, you know, ruling all before them. Is the women's contest a more open one? We've seen Australia's Ash Barty is number one in the world at the moment, and she wasn't anywhere near the finals. Is it a more open contest at the moment in the women?
Oh, it absolutely is. I'm a big believer in Ash Barty's tennis and her game. I mean, I thought she was one of the big favorites for Wimbledon. Didn't happen to her this time. She ran into a pretty hot player in Alison Risk and looked to me like she might have been a little bit passive at the most important moments of that match. I don't know how she feels about it, but that was my read looking at it. But she's a very talented all-court player. Her victory at the French was not a fluke by any means. But the women's game is very, very balanced. And you can see players from all over the world in many different age ranges have success as well. But there's only been one repeat champion in the last couple of years at Grand Slams, and that's Naomi Osaka, and she's in a bit of a slump. So it's very hard to predict where the women's game is going to go.
Okay, well, back to Roger Federer and Djokovic after this marathon game that, in a sense, Djokovic was lucky to win, if you examine the stats, as I understand it. But Federer, he'll be 38 in a few weeks' time. Is he getting more fallible, and is he aware of that? Do you see him winning, just briefly, any more Grand Slam finals?
You know, I think Roger's taught us all over the years not to make such pronouncements, because I'm getting emails from readers all the time now with my articles from 4 or 5 years ago saying, you said it might be Roger's last chance. Well, here he is still. So they're right about that. And Federer is an outlier in terms of his ability to, you know, still be moving around the court so well, still have the appetite to win, and still enjoying the competition. But okay, for sure, the numbers are going to go down here, and his best chances are going to come on quicker surfaces like this, where he can play, or lower bouncing surfaces where he can use his attacking game more. But
all right,
I think he will have other opportunities.
Christopher, thank you very much for joining us.
My pleasure. Thanks.
Christopher Clary, tennis correspondent for the New York Times. It's late in London, but they're all up after that marathon match.